All right. Hi, everybody. And my name is Anne. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater. Some of my medical conditions are rheumatoid arthritis, fibromyalgia, asthma, Sjögren's, insomnia, borderline personality disorder, depression, anxiety, vitamin malabsorption, IBS-C, osteoarthritis, postmenopausal osteoporosis, vertigo, reactive hypoglycemic neuropathy, restless legs, and lumbar spondylitis. I can never say that, spondylosis, and gum disease causing loss of all my teeth, and I fear colon cancer. I always blamed being molested at age 6 for all my issues. It wasn't until I did a food history in a way that I saw that I was always obsessed with food. A very vivid memory is when I was 4 years old. Some people came over for a dinner party. They gave me junk. I was told I could have one and put the rest in my bedroom, which was next to the bathroom. During dinner, I excused myself several times to use the bathroom. I took some of the junk from my bedroom, went into the bathroom to eat it. I flushed the wrappers so at some level I knew what I was doing was wrong. Growing up, I always saw and reacted to the world negatively. As a teen, my brother was diagnosed with a mental health diagnosis and he lashed out. They went to family counseling where I sat in the waiting room the entire time, each time being left out and invisible. I still struggle with being left out and invisible even today. We never talked about any of what was happening. The only coping skills I knew was to stuff food down and keep everything inside. I started to get migraines due to all the stress. I saw a doctor who gave me pills to stop the migraines. This was the first time I saw that a pill solved a problem. Not a good thought for someone with addictive behaviors. I had rage inside of me, but I hated how my brother showed his anger by being physical, so I internalized it. I ate even more food, sometimes eating so much I got sick. That just taught me if I wasn't done binging to make myself sick to make more space for more food. I continued to binge and purge. I also self-harmed. I blamed the missing food on my brother. At school, I was always bullied for my weight. In high school, it got so much worse. But at least the bullies who called me names and pushed me around saw me. So I made sure I was there for them to acknowledge that I was alive each day. I could have waited a half a minute to go down that hallway, but any attention was better than none to me. I fantasized about taking my own life. At a high school graduation party, a guy paid attention to me. He was the first male to show any interest in me, so I thought I was in love. It was a bonus, I thought, that he was 21 years old and could buy alcohol. Every weekend I would drink with this guy. My parents caught me stealing food and money from them. They gave me an ultimatum, live by their rules in their house or move out. So after knowing this guy for 4 months, I moved in with him. He isolated me from my friends and family. He became verbally abusive first, saying my own parents couldn't wait to get rid of me, that he was the only one who could tolerate me. Who else would want a big fat whale? It took a long time to get those words out of my head. My food addiction was still there, but I also used alcohol a lot too. Then came the physical violence and sexual abuse. He didn't let me work, so I depended on him financially. Each time he hurt me, he would buy me alcohol and my favorite junk foods. This went on for 3 years. I started to believe I had a drinking problem, that I was purposely making him mad so he would hurt me so I would get the alcohol and food. At this point, we lived at a boarding house, and a lot of people there were court-ordered to go to AA meetings. He let me go to the AA meetings with some of the people. This was the only time he left me alone. There, the AA ladies helped me build my self-esteem and helped me put together an escape plan. I owe my life to them. I finally got away from him. On my own, I did anything I wanted. I ate a lot of sweets and junk for dinner. I was told that I needed medication for my diabetes. I honestly assumed that the pill would do its job and get my blood sugars back to normal, so I didn't change my diet. After having two teeth pulled due to my bulimia, I stopped that part of my disease. It took time to have my parents back in my life. I still self-harmed, abused prescription pills, alcohol, smoking, but food was my main addiction. At age 30, I had heart palpitations, my cholesterol was in the 500s, insulin-dependent diabetic, high blood pressure, in pain from rheumatoid arthritis, suffering through life. I used my rheumatoid arthritis as the excuse not to go out anywhere. In truth, I was ashamed of my body and myself. A couple of my doctors recommended the Roux-en-Y gastric bypass surgery. This type of surgery would help with my diabetes. I would not be able to use anti-inflammatory medications or smoke. I assumed the surgery would cure me. In August 2007, at 287 pounds, I had the surgery. In 2 years, I lost 103 pounds. I bruised my collarbones because I couldn't stop touching them. I never knew they existed before. Some of my health issues got better, but I still was not happy, still very negative. I still had all the emotional issues just in a smaller body, and my marriage wasn't fixed. I was so used to being invisible to everyone, when a couple of different men started to talk to me at supermarkets, I lost my invisibility. I panicked and ran back to the food. In 2 months, I gained 20 pounds back. Each time I overate, I had physical consequences. I couldn't stop eating. I hated myself. I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, so now I have two diseases that cause pain. I use them as an excuse not to leave the house. Over time, I gained 45 more pounds. I became a diabetic again, a rarity after Roux-en-Y gastric bypass surgery. This time, I wanted to live. I thought about divorcing my husband since we were just roommates. I wanted to lose weight before I left him, so I saw an ad in the newspaper about Overeaters Anonymous. I told myself if this doesn't work, that this must be my lot in life, to be miserable and obese. So I went to the OA meeting. The lady there that ran it was very laid back. We just talked about stuff. Sometimes we read from OA books. I took baby steps. I started to just plan my dinner and still ate badly the rest of the time. I didn't have takeout or fast food for dinner for 2 whole months. I was in awe. So I tried planning my lunch and my breakfast, but still was eating too many junky snacks. Someone told me about other local OA meetings nearby, which was good because the lady got closed down for not following OA standards. It was an eye-opener to go to a real OA meeting. There were guidelines and structure. In the beginning, I was a quiet person who cleaned up while everyone else talked after the meeting. I'd use my dyslexia as an excuse not to read anything. I had a list in my head for the sponsor I needed. My sponsor had to understand my pain issues, had to be okay with my food plan because of gastric bypass surgery, and understand that I didn't understand what a higher power is. Well, 3 months went by and no one measured up. 6 months went by and I even went to a second meeting each week. I was desperate, so I finally threw my list away. After getting a sponsor that month, I became abstinent. After 88 days, I lost my abstinence. For me, I tried to make too many huge changes. I beat myself up for not being perfect. By making small changes, I became abstinent again August 20th, 2014. As of this second, I am still abstinent. I finally saw food as fuel for my body. I used the mantra, I won't starve before my next meal, to help. I had to talk to my sponsor after a meeting. I had to wait until after the group business meeting to talk to her. They needed someone to make copies of flyers when we got them in. No one raised a hand. I raised my hand and everyone was happy that I could do that. It was the first time in a very long time that I felt useful. This was my start in doing service. I really struggled to understand this higher power. I said the words HP, but there was no meaning behind it. I had no religious upbringing, so I had to start at ground zero. For me, I needed to understand what a religious God was to understand my spirituality. I have helped lead a 15-week step study group. It made me see the steps through other people's experiences. I've organized several workshops. I was at our face-to-face intergroup chair for 6 years. I've gone to 13, I think, Region 7 business assemblies. My first World Business Conference in person was in 2019, was amazing. Then I went virtually to the OA World Business Conference in 2020. I wanted new challenges, so I found virtual OA. I chaired 3 OA Zoom meetings. I joined 4 committees, was a rep for intergroup, region, and world. I got overwhelmed. I couldn't do it. I had to have balance. Right now, I lead a presentation twice a month, and I'm also on one committee. I have sponsees, which has made me work all the tools, not just my favorites, because I want to lead by example. They teach me as much as I share with them. Many have fired me, and some turned into great friendships outside of OA. I've had many sponsors. Each one has taught me what I needed to hear at that time. I'm not afraid to speak up if the sponsorship relationship is not working. I still work on the steps in some way. My biggest thing for me is to get rid of the negative thoughts. If each negative thought is a snowflake, it is tiny. I will think about that thought many times. Now I have a snowball. After a day or two, I have an avalanche of snow in my head with no space for anything else. For me, I need to get that tiny negative thought out of my head first. Fast. I will tell it to my higher power, my husband. When I am really struggling, I like to email my rant negative thoughts to my sponsor. I don't care when it is looked at. Something about hitting that send button on my tablet finalizes it. Right now, I am using talk to text a lot more, so rereading it before sending it out is hilarious. I came into OA to lose weight so I could divorce my husband. This program has changed all aspects of my life. I see how it is all connected. I have learned how to handle life on life's terms. Life sucks quite a bit. I have learned how to deal with it in a healthy way. I am going to have emotions every day. I have healthy coping skills. My brain still automatically wants to hide from hard emotions, but I face them each time. I catch myself opening kitchen cabinet doors when bored. I see my positive note or sticker and close the door. When the pain gets so bad, I get a fleeting thought of suicide for a second. Then it goes away because I have so much to live, life to live. I've learned that I will never be perfect. I am still learning to have a balance in my life. I speak up for myself. I am patient with my mom, who loves to gossip and is negative. We used to be negativity buddies together, but I am positive now. I used to be so fearful of everything, never wanting to do anything new. I broke that fear wide open in 2018 by going ziplining twice, a trip with a cousin to Canada, where I wasn't in control of anything except my food. In 2019, I went to Albuquerque, New Mexico for OA World. Had to go on an airplane with a layover on my own, used Uber, and was not kidnapped. I was a keynote speaker at an OA retreat. I demolished all the masks I hide behind, especially the I am fine and I'm not in pain masks. I will share if I'm not doing well. I give myself permission to have rest days. I am happy, joyous, and free from my demons one day at a time. I take time and care for myself. My husband and I are like newlyweds. We communicate so much better now because I learned how to in a way. My husband proofreads most of my speeches, and he has driven me to face-to-face OA meetings if I'm unable to because I ask for help. I can admit when I make mistakes. I have real friends. Even on my worst pain day, I am still grateful. I am never alone because I have a higher power. I also have so many platforms to reach out to fellows, like calling, emailing, texting, Facebook, and WhatsApp. But I have a really hard time reaching out when I'm struggling with pain. I found specific topic OA meetings like this one, which lifts my heart and soul to talk with others in pain. I forgave people who hurt me intentionally and unintentionally. It took a bit longer, but I've forgiven myself. I've made many amends. I still work on my living amends to myself and others. I am maintaining about 100-pound weight loss. I've gained some weight. I can't exercise as much because of my arthritic knees. My body has changed, and some medications I need don't help. I'm not focused on that. I still eat my abstinent meals. I have many meal and action plans, so I can work my bad days into my way of life, because that is what OA is to me, my only way to live. Each morning, I choose to continue my way of life. Each night I remind myself how grateful I need to be. My favorite literature piece is from Voices of Recovery, August 21st on page 234. My interpretation of that reading is, talks about a farmer sitting on a three-legged stool. The three spools are physical, emotional, and spiritual. And how if they aren't even, you have a problem with all spools. And you will get wobbly and can fall. That really hit me hard. If I had a stool before OA, it would be an unusable stool. Because the physical spool would be three times bigger, stuffed with crap food, and have open wounds. My emotional spool would have been a mirror, looking okay on the outside, but extremely fragile, easily broken. I didn't have a spiritual spool. Today, my stool looks like this. My physical spool is the same size as the other two spools. It has some permanent dents and scars, which gives it character. My emotional spool is away, working the whole program, the steps, my sponsees, having others who have been through the things I'm struggling with today. I have a spiritual spool, which grew from a tiny mustard seed of hope. I first used the rooms of OA as a whole to be my higher power since they knew more than I did. I didn't understand what a higher power was because I didn't have one growing up. Today I found that Christianity works for me as a higher power. On my stool's lip is a dove that represents what my spools are balanced. When my spools are balanced, I am at peace. And I have this tattooed on me. So I have some photos I'm going to put up shortly. I thank my higher power for giving me a voice today so I could share with you my changed world and to show it can happen to you too. Now let's see if I can do this. Share screen. There we go. There, can I do? Oh, I can't. I have to go back. All right, so that's the tattoo. It'll get better. Stop share. Come on, tell me I can do this again. I hate doing that. All right, let's go back. Come on. I want to show the better ones. Oh, there's the arrow. Large and screen share again. Oh, where'd you go? Sorry, guys.
You're still on it somehow, Anne.
Huh?
You're still screen sharing.
Yep. Okay, so that's me. And then, oh, can I go back? Nope. Ah! I can't get that little arrow on it. You guys are in the way here. There we go. There's me now, and that's 2007, and that's me again. How large I was. All right, now I'll stop screen sharing. And then I am done. Thank you very much.